So we're going to read from 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For you will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do not work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer. Thank you, Paul, for reading for us today. Father in heaven, we just rejoice on this frosty morn, the privilege of gathering together to worship you, to exalt your holy name, and to lift up our Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, to all who put their faith and trust in him. I pray today, Lord, you would grow us in our faith in Christ, our confidence and trust in you. And any here today, Lord, who do not know Jesus as their Savior, are not certain about their eternal destiny, I pray today would be the day they would put their trust in Christ, that these words would truly convince, rebuke, and exhort for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you. It's a blessing to be here today. We're so grateful for the privilege of gathering together. It's just a joy to be here. And before we get any further, I do want to take a moment and say, we want to live out the golden rule, don't we? So we want to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And that includes coughing or sneezing. If you need tissues or handkerchiefs, please use those just in consideration of others. As the old World War II slogan said, coughs and sneezes spread diseases. And we know that in this day and age, in the day of COVID. So we're so grateful to be able to gather together, but we want to be considerate of others. So thank you for that. So blessed to be here to fellowship with other people that we know, brothers and sisters in Christ, and some new ones. We're grateful for the opportunity to get into the Word of God. And here today we're looking at 2 Timothy. This is a letter by the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy. We see that mentioned several times in both books. But this second book, the second letter to Timothy, this is the last letter the Apostle Paul wrote. So what we're really looking at today is the culmination of his written ministry in the book of 2 Timothy. There'll be no more letters. This is the last chapter of the last book the Apostle Paul wrote, beginning with his ministry in Galatians all the way to now to 2 Timothy. We have what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write for Timothy and also for us today. And we want to focus primarily on this passage, the first four verses of chapter 4, because I believe this really sums up what Paul's desire was for Timothy and for us in this day and age. We want to keep in mind the day that we live in. Last week, over 5,000 U.S. pastors joined in with their Canadian brethren in preaching concerning conversion. The Canadian Parliament passed a bill, C-4, which virtually outlaws conversion therapies for homosexual or transsexual individuals. I want to reinforce today The gospel is all about conversion therapy to the glory of God, right? Everyone here that's a Christian has been converted. We were wicked sinners in our own flesh, and because of faith in Jesus Christ, we are new. We have not been improved in degree. We have been improved in kind because we are new creatures through faith in Jesus Christ. We are to walk in that newness of life, and we have to be more fervent than ever in preaching the whole counsel of God. And I believe this passage here in 2 Timothy reinforces that truth to us. As Paul was finishing up his earthly ministry, he knew his days were short. If you read these four short chapters in 2 Timothy, you see Paul understood what was at stake. He was writing from prison. They say in Rome you can go today and see the cell in which Paul was held. It was actually a hole in the ground. No windows. They would lower the food to him through a hole in the top of the cell. He wrote this letter by, of course, speaking it to someone else that could dictate it, write it down. But the message he has for Timothy is a message for us today. And when you read these chapters in 2 Timothy, you see Paul's encouragement to him, Paul's rebuke of Timothy. You see Paul's desire to convince him of his ministry. Timothy was to follow the apostle in the gospel ministry. And all throughout this wonderful letter, we see Paul's reinforcement of that desire and conviction in the life of Timothy for him to follow Paul in preaching and evangelism. As Paul read earlier, our Paul, not the Apostle Paul, as Paul read earlier, Timothy was encouraged, fulfill your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. That doesn't mean, as we think of today, to go out and preach just in a haphazard way, seeking to win people as a visiting pastor, but it's to do the work of an evangelist. The evangel is the gospel, to preach the gospel. Several times in this passage, the Apostle Paul encourages Timothy to preach the word. He gives in verse 1 a charge. Some translations mention there a solemn charge, a serious charge, telling Timothy that not only God, but Jesus Christ, who is going to judge, is watching, and he will hold you to account. So Paul here is saying this in the most solemn, serious manner for Timothy to preach the word. And that again speaks to the entire counsel of God. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are all beneficiaries of the preaching of the gospel. It's such a blessing when we share testimonies on occasion, just hearing, especially with some of our newer members here, of how God saved them from a life of sin, not through their works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. He changed them, made them born again to live and walk as Christians. What a blessing as we share testimonies with other individuals. We could take the entire morning and speak about how God has worked in the life of Christians here today, saving us, convicting us of our sin, pointing out and showing us our need for salvation. And in doing so, that conviction leads us to repentance, leads us to confession of sin, the turning from the sins in which we once lived, and following a new path. It's great deception for people to think that there are sinners and that there are Christians. Sinners are the ones who have sin and Christians do not have sin. That is not true. What is true is sinners are those who enjoy and cherish their sin against a hated God. Christians are those who cherish a reconciled relationship with a reconciled God against hated sin. A great difference between those who are saved and those who are lost. We who are no Christ hate sin. Those who are lost need to know Christ for salvation in fighting against their sin, confessing and repenting of sin. So in this great charge that Paul gives Timothy, he gives it with the utmost seriousness because this entire book has been pointing to this direction in his life to show Timothy the utmost need to preach the Word. The Word of God is the Bible, the written Word of God. In the written Word of God, we know the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through the knowledge of what the Bible reveals about Him that we can be saved. This is the only means of salvation. And this is the means not only of salvation, but of joy and peace and contentment. There are two great deceptions that we must be aware of at all times. One is that we can sin against God without penalty. And the other is that we can achieve happiness and contentment apart from knowing God. There is no happiness, no contentment apart from knowing God. As Christians, we agree with God's word when it says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." What a blessing in this day that we can live confidently, trusting that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That should be put to music. I think it has. Praise God. And it's a wonderful song for us to consider. So when he's saying there, preach the word, he's speaking, preach the written word of God to proclaim the living word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of all who trust him. What a blessing to know that today we have God's word. And this preaching of the word that Paul charges Timothy with is to be done all the time. I used to remember reading when it says, "Be ready," or "Be instant," in the King James, "in season and out of season." I said, "What does that mean?" It means all the time. It means this is a never-ending challenge for the minister to preach the word. Be ready at all times to preach God's word, to share the gospel with those that are lost. The blessing that we have as Christians is to know that we believe in a simple gospel, don't we? Paul himself said the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is not difficult. The gospel is very simple. God saw, as a result of the fall, actually before the fall, but we see it as a result of the fall in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the beginnings of the gospel message that God would send a Savior. And all through the Old Testament, we have the promise of a coming Savior. And 2,000 years ago, over 300 prophecies were fulfilled from the Old Testament in the birth of an incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. He lived a pure life, a perfect life, gave his life on the cross, as we sang earlier, shed his blood and died to ransom all who would put their trust in him. After 3 days, he rose from the dead, gaining victory over sin, death, and hell forever for us, taking our sins away from us, all who believe in him, being saved for heaven. And Christ now reigns at the right hand of the Father. And not only that, he dwells within every Christian. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a simple gospel, but it is not an accepted gospel by much of the world. Much of the world sees it as foolishness. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just turn to that for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the same Apostle Paul writes that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is what? The power of God. So on one hand, it's foolishness. To us, it is power. And we praise the Lord for that, as easy as it is to be saved, commit your life to Jesus Christ, confess your sins, turn from them, trust Christ and Christ alone for salvation. Good works do not save. Good works are a result of salvation. We begin to do good works in obedience to his commands. So when Paul is giving Timothy this charge, you can turn back to 2 Timothy. When he's giving this charge, he's simply encouraging Timothy, preach the word, be ready, in season, out of season, to reprove. King James is a wonderful translation, so that's the way I learned it. But it's convince in the New King James, convince. How are we convinced by the gospel preaching? How are we convinced? Paul preached and wrote that he sought to persuade men. And likewise, the preaching of the gospel convinces us of our need for salvation. Not the preacher, but the word of God convicts. The word of God brings faith. The word of God brings life in the life of those who were once dead in trespasses and sin. And praise the Lord, this is our witness, all who know Jesus. This is our witness today that we were once dead and now we live. And we live forevermore through faith in Jesus Christ. Regardless of what this world offers us, regardless of what this world may point to us or put to us, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Praise God for what he has done, not for what we have done, but what he has done through us. He has convinced us through the preaching of the word of God to come to faith in Christ. And we pray today that many more would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is at work all over the world. Amen? God's at work in every corner that we don't even know is a corner. Even in Alabama, God is at work. Praise the Lord. God saves sinners, and we're so grateful for that. We can look back through history, and I think much of our time in heaven will be spent in regaling stories and testimonies of God's great mercy and love toward lost sinners who came to faith in Jesus Christ. Just a few examples. One example is a man named Lew Wallace. Lew Wallace was a general in the Union Army during the Civil War. He was notable because he missed the Battle of Shiloh because his army got lost. The Battle of Shiloh, of course, was not too far west from here in southern Tennessee. And he missed that battle, and he was so convicted by that that he went back to that battlefield every year for the rest of his life. But Lew Wallace was also a convinced atheist. He did not believe in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he was so much against Christ that he decided to prove it by writing a book against the resurrection. Lew Wallace began writing that book, and in the midst of his research, Lew Wallace became a Christian. The book that he wrote, you may have heard of it, it's called Ben-Hur. They made a movie about it, and for many years, it had the record for the most Academy Award wins. Lew Wallace went from death to life through faith in Jesus Christ. Another man named Frank Morrison was a British journalist. He also was a convinced atheist, an opponent of the gospel. Lord Jesus Christ did not believe in the resurrection. And Frank Morrison decided to write a book to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In that book, one of the chapters is titled, "The Story That Refused to Be Written." Because in the midst of his research, Frank Morrison became a Christian. He became one who went from death to life. He went from one who was a skeptic and an unbeliever in the resurrection to one who was a convinced Christian that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is true, and he believes it. That book can be found today. The title of that book is "Who Moved the Stone?" And I commend it to you. It is a short paperback, but well worth reading. It's a wonderful story. In that chapter that he wrote, he talks about the picture of entering a forest at one point and coming out of that forest at a completely different point from what was expected, because in the midst of that research, Frank Morrison became a believer in Jesus Christ. Preach the word. Notice in this charge that Paul gives, there's so many other things he could have said. Build your ministry. Build big churches, raise lots of money, get on television one day when television's invented. But he didn't do any of that. He didn't say anything about popularity. Matter of fact, in this letter you see he encourages Timothy over and over again to suffer for Christ. Join in his sufferings, because the sufferings are coming. The sufferings are here, and the sufferings will come, be coming more and more. So I'm preaching at a 3-hour clip. I need to tighten up. I'm sorry. But this is so tremendous, this entire passage, to preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke. Rebuke is a reprimand, a strong criticism. How many of us have been rebuked by the offense of the gospel? The idea that Jesus Christ, not only our Savior, the Bible describes in multiple places as a stone or rock of offense. He is a stumbling block to those who do not trust Christ. He is an offense, and yet to us, he's sweet. He's the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. That's a way back song there. I don't know if any of you heard that one, but It's just a wonderful thing to consider the preciousness and beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, the offense, the sting of our pride when we're offended by the truth of the gospel, that we are sinners, and not only are we sinners, we're enemies of the gospel. We're ungodly. We're helpless. All these are in Romans chapter 5, he speaks of. And there's nothing you can do about it except admit you're a sinner, confess your sins, and put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Turn to Christ and live, is what the gospel tells us. This is truly good news to us today. We are to have the word preached. And what is our role? Most of us are not preachers. Most of us will never preach. But our role is to hold preachers accountable. Our role is to be encouraging to others that we put our faith and trust in Christ through the preaching of the word, not stories. Some call it storybook preaching or springboard preaching. Springboard preaching. You've heard story on top of story on top of story. And we don't want to have that. We want to have the word of God preached, because in the word of God, we learn of life through faith in Jesus Christ. So as we hear the word preached, as Paul gave this serious charge to Timothy, we are to hold our pastors and preachers accountable to preach the word. Tell us the word of God. And that is so essential in this day. Okay. Again, way, way behind. But I'm sorry, but I just love to build and grow your sanctification. Because difficult times are coming, and we read that in the rest of this passage here. Paul warns prophetically. This is the third warning he gives Timothy of things that are coming. What the future holds. You can look back at chapter 3, verse 1, and he talks about perilous or dangerous times he warns of. In that same chapter, you can look down and see verse 13. Someone read verse 13 for me in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, please. Now again, that's one place where that is mentioned. And Paul says, okay, Timothy, you're saved. Just let the world go. Don't worry about it. Is that what he says? Not at all. Read the next verse, if you would. Verse 14. Look what Paul says to Timothy in the truth of what's ahead. Notice what he tells Timothy.
But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned it.
Amen. Continue in this. Yes, we see this several times in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah is giving a charge by God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a pre-incarnate form, telling Isaiah, you're going to preach, but the people will not listen. The same Apostle Paul in the book of Acts quotes that very passage in speaking to the Jews. Concerning, you are not listening to the gospel. You're turning your ears from it. Amos has a passage. If you would, Dennis, put the passage of Amos up on the screen, please. Notice the prophecy from Amos concerning a famine in the land. Someone read that for us, please.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, brother. So this famine is going to be sent by God himself, and is exactly what Paul is writing about, warning Timothy of, that they will turn their ears. The famine Amos speaks of is not a famine of God restricting the speaking. It's a famine of the people hearing the gospel. I pray today, as we look through this passage and other various passages, that we see and understand the urgency of our hour, that more than ever we must have the word preached to us, that we must be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must not turn aside to the left or to the right, but must stay true to his holy name. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior today, if you put your trust in any other than him for salvation, for heaven, I pray today that today would be the day you would see your need for salvation, that you would trust Jesus for salvation, that he would make you, as he promises, a new creature through faith in him. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Isn't that a blessing? We are new creatures through faith in Christ. I pray today would be the day you would trust him. There's so much more. Sorry I'm over time, but it's a blessing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a great privilege. What a great joy to know the Lord Jesus Christ through faith in him. Whatever befalls us, whatever we're confronted with, we are in Christ through faith in him. I pray today you will be in Christ and walk in that newness of life. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for this, your holy word. We thank you, O God, that apart from your word, we are lost. Apart from your holy word, Lord, to convict us of sin through your Holy Spirit, we have no hope. And yet, through faith in Jesus Christ, you save sinners. You save those who do not deserve salvation, wicked ones as wicked as me. I'm so grateful, God, for your gospel. I'm so grateful, Lord, for the privilege of getting to fellowship with other Christians today to share and celebrate the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are already victors. Whatever happens in this world, we are victors through Jesus Christ. Praise you, O God. We exalt you and glorify you now. Thank you so much for each one here today. I pray you would be with us. You would work in every heart, Lord, to grow our confidence and trust in Jesus, or to bring us to faith in Jesus. We pray, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and love. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.